I put a stack of these in the back if you need them. It's a testimony of Peggy O'Neill, a former nun. I bought a load of them for our church to hand out in Limerick. So inside it just gives her testimony and talks about, the title is I Never Heard the Gospel. So if you have a relative or somebody that you think might read this and it might make some kind of an impact, go ahead and grab them in the back. And I hope I don't have to take any home. So, but don't take all of them and bring them to your church either, Pastor Craig. All right. So let's open our Bibles, if you would, to 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. 2 Samuel 23, 8. Just a simple verse here. Says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Tonight I want to be a help to you. I'm going to try to just kind of be open, a bit candid. Each day I wake up, you know, with the realization that time is running out. It seems the Lord could come at any minute. And if you're living for the Lord and you're paying attention to the news, you can easily see that if the Lord doesn't come soon, persecution will. And you can see that in laws that are being changed and different things going on. And I pray that whatever the future holds, that we'll stand valiantly like David's mighty men in our faith and in our churches, behind our pastors, and stay faithful to the Lord till the very end. But tonight I'm going to talk about Adino, the relentless. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love, your patience, your guidance, your Spirit, and I ask, Father, that your Spirit would fall down upon us tonight. Lord, I'm just a man, I'm just a vessel, and Lord, I pray that your word would resonate with us, that you would help us, Father, to learn from this from the captain of the mighty men. Though there's few verses written about him, those few verses tell us much about him, about the character of him. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to get an understanding, that you would help us, that you would work in our hearts. Father, give us what we need, each of us, all of us with different needs, different backgrounds. But Father, I pray that your Spirit would come down, that you would speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the verse we just read, we have mention of a man named Adino. He was one of David's mighty men. He's only mentioned in two verses in the Bible, so there's not a lot about him. But he's also known as Jashabim. But the Bible says that Adino, he was the chief among the captains of David's men. So being the chief among the captains, he was the mightiest of David's men. He was a man of respect. He was a warrior. The Bible records that he fought against and slew 800 men in one battle with just his spear. In an earlier time, he slew 300 men in battle single-handedly. Adino earned the title of a mighty man, and he was the greatest of the mighty men. Now let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Here in 1 Corinthians 16, it talks about fighting. It talks about the battle of the Christian life. And in these verses, it teaches how God expects us to become mighty men in the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 13. And I believe these verses here in 1 Corinthians 16, Adino's life is a mirror image of these verses. When you look at just the two verses that talk about Adino, it's a mirror image of what God describes and God tells us to be, what God tells us to do in the Christian life. You'll see how that works in a minute. Here it says, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." 1 Corinthians, so first I want you to see the Bible. God wants us to survey. God wants us to watch. It says, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, "Watch ye." So when Adino triumphed against 800 men in battle, he was aware of his surroundings. He knew what was going on all around him. His enemy was closing in. Adino was aware that the enemy was all around him. And the Bible tells us, "Watch ye." Watch ye. Adino, we need to watch. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. When Adino triumphed against the 800 men in the battle, he was aware. He was watchful. He wasn't sleeping on the job. If he was, he would have been massacred. He wasn't standing around thinking about other things. He was watchful. He was mindful. He was aware that that enemy was all around him and surrounding him and ready to attack. And he was ready and watchful for the men that came up to attack him. And tonight, are you aware? Are you watchful of the enemy? 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." When I think of Adino slaughtering 800 men, I picture him with men coming at him from all sides. And there's a battle going on today, and it's being waged all around us. We need to watch. We need to regard because of the enemy. My family and I, we came to Ireland back in 2008. We moved to Limerick in 2011. And as I was living there, just the longer I lived there, I realized the problems that are really there. And just Limerick alone. In Limerick, we have enemies. We have enemies all around. On October 5th, 2015, the Irish Examiner reported that Limerick has the highest rate of suicides in Ireland, in Limerick City, twice the national average. Limerick has the nation's highest rate of suspected murders between 2012 and 2014. That's recently. Every one of those murders, every one of those suicides, every one of those people that got killed, that killed themselves, that person has touched thousands of lives around them. Those people, that's somebody's child. That's somebody's mother. That's somebody's brother, somebody's sister, somebody's mom, somebody's dad, somebody's cousin, somebody's friend. Our country right now is filled with paganism under the guise of Christianity. Drink pours freely. Alcoholism's called a disease, but it's the only disease that they bottle up and sell on the tap at the local pub. How about a pint of flu? A shot of AIDS on the side? It's not a disease. Solicitors, my family and I, we were getting our citizenship, and we went to the solicitors, and the to get some documents taken care of. And while I was sitting in there, he pointed out the window and he said, "You see that toilet out there, the pay toilet?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't go in there." He said, "Don't bring your kids in there." He said, "They pull heroin needles out of that toilet every single morning, right by a park with a kids' play area." Limerick City has the highest divorce rate. STDs are running rampant in Limerick. Last year over 5,600 people attended for STI treatment in the region, compared with under 1,400, 5,600 compared to 1,400 in 1995. The director of the STD clinic in the Midwestern Regional Hospital in Limerick, Dr. Catherine O'Connor, reported that this year she has seen an increase in progress in positive diagnosis of 40%, an increase of 40% on 2000. 5,600 people. We have the abuses by the priests. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." We need to be aware that there's an enemy all around us, and it is devastating this country. In Limerick alone, sin is a Goliath, and we need men that are aware. We need men that are prepared. We need men that are going to live righteously, that are going to take a stand against sin that's so prevalent in our society. When Christians behave like the world, it's not going to help the lost. We're supposed to show a difference between right and wrong, be the salt of the earth. We need men who are going to fight the enemies in our world today and fight until those enemies are conquered. First, we need to watch. To watch, we have to be aware. But to watch, we also have to be prepared. It's great to be aware. You could watch those enemies coming. But if you're not prepared to fight those enemies, it's not going to do you any good. You're just going to get slaughtered. Oh, great, look, the enemies are coming. You know, then you get killed. Adino was prepared. He practiced. He trained. He had experience. When he killed the 800 men, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm sure he hadn't just grabbed that. I'm sure he wasn't like one of us out there with the, you know, with the bow and arrow. It wasn't just like the first day he got up and just grabbed a spear and went out and said, "Hey, I think I'm going to try to kill some people." No, he had training. Today, we need men who are prepared to fight for the souls of men. Adino had to be prepared by conquering himself and learning to use his weapon effectively. Soldiers in the military, they train. They learn to conquer themselves. Soldiers have to conquer being tired. They have to conquer physical fatigue. They have to learn to keep their things tidy and in order, because when you're in battle, there's no rest. When you're in battle, the enemy is constantly at you. They're coming from all sides, coming at you. And you have to know how to conquer your body and conquer your actions. Conquering yourself makes you more equipped for the battle. And that's called discipline. And it's what it means to be a disciple. That's what disciple means. Disciple means discipline. I know a lot, I'm sure a lot of the men in the RU home, you're getting a lot of discipline. And that's good. But that's what it's going to take. Those of us who don't have the privilege of being in the RU home and getting under some discipline, we need to discipline ourselves. The way to be prepared to battle the enemy the enemy around us is to become a disciple, a disciplined follower of Christ. As Christians, we need to conquer the enemies that are inside of us. We need to conquer our pride, because pride keeps us from admitting that we've done wrong and being humble. Pride makes us think that we have the right to sin. Well, I've lived good for a little while. Now I have the right to indulge in a little bit of sin. We need to conquer the enemy of bitterness that's inside of us. When we hold a grudge against people, when we shouldn't be holding grudges against people, and live our lives trying to get back at them, because bitterness is sin. We need to conquer the enemy of unforgiveness. Forgiveness with God is when God forgives us of our sin, it's past, present, and future. But you know what we do? We say, oh, well, I forgive you, but we don't trust him anymore. We hold back. But forgiveness, what real forgiveness is to completely cancel. If we continue to bring up wrongs done to us, we haven't really forgiven. God doesn't do that. When God forgives our sin, it's gone. He doesn't even remember it. Yeah, the devil's going to come back, and when you forgive somebody of something, the devil's going to come and say, hey, remember what he did? And you say, I forgave that. I forgave that sin when that person sinned against me. We need to have forgiveness. We need to conquer the enemy of laziness. People, laziness keeps us from praying. Laziness keeps us from the Word of God in serving God. The Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Laziness keeps us from assembling with the brethren. When you forsake church, when you forsake going to church, you're forsaking fellowship. Yeah, but you're also forsaking the training that you're getting to use your sword, to use the Word of God. And not only that, you're telling your family, you're telling your friends that church really isn't important. We need to conquer the enemy of rebellion. Saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to listen to what the Word of God says. I want to do what I want to do. The enemy. We need to conquer the enemy of biblical ignorance. And I'm going to use a dirty four-letter word in a minute. If you want to learn the Bible, it's going to take, listen, I want to say it. You ready? W-O-R-K. Work. Dirty four-letter word for most of us, isn't it? It's going to take work. You need to learn to use the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God's your weapon. You need to be ready to give an answer to people. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Society is filled with superstitions, religions, and ideas about the Bible. Knowing the Bible is going to help us in soul winning to be able to give an answer to people. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to cut down through the soul and the spirit. And to gain personal victory and to be prepared, we need to schedule time for prayer. We need to schedule time for studying the Word of God, memorizing, meditating on the verses that pertain to our own sins, and fasting. Being prepared is going to take discipline. Number one, we need to survey. We need to watch. We need to be aware and prepared. Second, we need to stand fast. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. The Israeli soldiers were skilled. They were something to contend with, but they were constantly up against professional fighters. They were outnumbered by nations that had the top-of-the-line weapons, the technology of the day. The Philistine armies were giants of men compared to the Israelites. The Egyptian armies were strong. They had armies of well-trained, dedicated military men, chariots and horsemen. But the Jews, on the other hand, were smaller than the Philistines, and they had primitive weapons. David had a sling. Shamgar had an ox goad. Samson had a jawbone. Moses had a rod. Aaron had trumpets, primitive weapons used by men with a heart and a determination to win by faith alone. But just like Adino, they had a secret weapon, and that secret weapon was God. Without God, that hand-to-hand fighting, it would have been complete disaster. But with God on their side, that fighting that they did against their enemies, it was supernatural, and they were unstoppable. You know, sometimes I think that, God wants to make things dramatic. He wants to make us. He wants us to bring us to that line where we say, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think I can do it anymore. And we get to that point and we think, God, I don't know. I can't do anything about this. And that's when he steps in, when it starts getting dramatic. He'll stack the odds against us so he can show his power. If he didn't stack the odds against us, if he didn't push us to that brink, to that edge, to that breaking point, if he didn't push us to that end where we need God and there's no way we can do it unless we hear from a God in heaven, then we would think it was us. Oh, it was my technique. Oh, it was my, you know, I find it funny, you know, people write books, you know, this is what I did to reach people. No, God reaches people. We can use methods. We can use all kinds of things. We can read books and use methods, and it's great. There's all kinds of different methods out there. And it's great to have different methods to get the gospel to people, but God is going to have to work. God called my family and I to go to Limerick. We get there, and like every, you know, I didn't have... When we got there, I didn't have big aspirations. I didn't think that we were going to see a huge revival. You always pray for it. But I had a realistic thought about going there. Well, we went there and we set up and I got an advertisement in the paper. I got some tracks made, and week after week, knocking on doors, giving out flyers, no one coming. Knocking on doors, giving out flyers, nobody coming. The weekly anticipation. Going to a hotel. Setting things up on a table. Setting all the books out real nice. Setting all the chairs up just the way I wanted them. Setting up the pulpit. Putting out the Bibles, the chairs, the songbooks, the projector, putting up the signs out on the street, all around the hotel, pointing people to the right room, just in case they get lost or just can't find it. Preparing the hours, preparing sermons each week, designing a program for the year to spark people's interest, advertising, and then nobody comes. Week after week. Nobody comes. Month after month, nobody comes. Suddenly, a visitor arrives, get all excited. They look around, see your family, and they scurry out at the end. Sunday nights, the devil would come. And he'd say, Brother Keith, your work here is useless. You're wasting your time. You're wasting people's money who are supporting you in the States. If God really called you here, something would happen. And I'd get discouraged. I was depressed. It was useless. It was hopeless. I was wasting my time every week talking to people who care nothing about my Savior. The attitude, if there is a God, I'm covered because I'm Catholic. But when Monday came, I renewed myself in the Lord. What kept me going was the need in Limerick. What kept me going was the calling of God. What kept me going was that Limerick needed someone who would stand fast. From 2011 to 2013, 2 years went by and nobody was there. Suddenly, God sent a man from Pastor Craig's church, Martin Monahan. He had a job up in Limerick. A college young lady came, and then an Irish man started coming with his son on Wednesday nights. But nobody was still coming on Sundays, but I could rejoice in the fact that somebody was coming. 2 years. Still, nobody was coming on Sundays. 2015. We finally got our citizenship at the beginning of the year. A month later, a couple started coming to the hotel on Sundays. The same week they started coming, I found a building in the city center that cost the same as a hotel. Suddenly, 6 months later, God moved some Christians into our area. A sign went up on the front. People started tumbling in nearly every single week. And one Sunday, God brought 31 people, and we had to fit them into a 27-seat room. And I stood in amazement at what God was doing. They don't all stay. That was just an odd week. But we have 11 people, aside from my family, who I can rely on to be there faithfully. We went from 0 to 11 people, not including my family. And I marvel when I stand behind the pulpit every week and see the people before me hungry to hear the Word of God. Tonight, God is waiting for each of us to step into the battle and to stand. Just like David, just like Moses, just like Joshua, just like Gideon, just like all the others, he wants us to face the enemy in obedience to God and with faith in his power. What would you do if you were surrounded by an innumerable amount of enemies that are seeking to destroy you? Adina was put in that position several times, but he never backed down. He stood fast. The Bible doesn't say whether he had a sword or shield, but it does say that he had a spear. And with God's help, that spear was enough to fight and defeat 800 armed attacking soldiers. He stood fast. And what we need to do is stand fast. Standing fast means being unmovable. You know, tonight, the last drink I had, the last drugs I took was in 1996. Tonight, or if you've given up drugs, if you've given up drink, stand fast. Tonight, the last cigarette I had was in 1997. And if you've given up cigarettes, stand fast. Tonight, if you've given up pornography, stand fast. When you make a decision for God, don't go back on it. We need to stand fast. When God calls you into the ministry and you make a decision for God, you need to stand by that decision. I believe God's calling someone in here to go into the ministry. I believe God's calling somebody in here. He's got to be. There is so much sin in this country. There is so much sin all around us. The enemies are surrounding us. The laws are being made going against Christianity. And God has to be calling somebody. We can't sit around waiting for the Americans to come over here. We need to get ourselves up and think and pray and pray to yourself. Go back to your house. Pray tonight and say, God, would you want me to go into the ministry? Would you want to use me? God hasn't changed. God's called every Christian. Maybe God hasn't called you into the ministry, but God's called every Christian to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, standing fast is difficult. When we stand, it's not going to be easy. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We need to endure hardness. We need to stand fast, enduring through the difficult times, enduring through the storms, enduring through the discouragement, enduring through the ridicule and scorn of family and friends. First, we need to survey or watch. We need to stand fast. Third, we need to sustain. Quit ye like men. Be strong. To quit, I looked up the definition. I mean, you get the point when you read it. But quit means to carry through, to go through to the end. We need to be relentless. Adina was relentless. He fought and slew 800 men with just his spear. In an earlier time, he fought 300 single-handedly until he was finished, until there were no more enemies to fight. But Adina wasn't in the fight until he got tired. He wasn't in the fight until it was supper time. He wasn't in the fight until it just wasn't cool anymore. Jesus was relentless. Jesus battled the enemy on the cross for us. He stayed at it for 3 hours in the Garden of Gethsemane. 6 hours, he faced 6 hours of mockery and blasphemy during his trials. And then 6 hours on the cross, three of those hours of darkness when God turned his back on his son. And the Lord fought and paid our sin debt until he was able to say at the very end, "It is finished!" He didn't lay down his life until he was finished. And we need to quit like men. Be relentless. Next, we don't quit until the end. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Now, I came to Ireland to stay. I worked to get my citizenship to stay. We're on our 8th year without a furlough. Some of my kids have never even seen their grandfather except for Skype. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm telling you, I'm not quitting. And if I ever do, you better not use me as your excuse. You might think, well, oh, so Brother Keith, you're telling me that I should do what you say and not what you do? No, I'm telling you, you ought to do what God says. Quit you like men and don't do what another man does. If I quit the ministry, if I leave here, you still have the Word of God. Don't use me as your excuse. But I don't plan on going anywhere. When nothing was happening in our ministry in Limerick, a lady came to me and asked, she said, "What are you going to do if nothing gets started? What are you going to do if nobody comes? Where are you going to go?" I just looked at her. I didn't know what to think. I said, "I don't know." I said, "That's never been an option. I never made an escape route. God didn't save you to quit on him. Things are going to get hard. Life's going to get difficult. You're going to get weary. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get depressed. The enemy's going to come and he's going to beat you down and he's going to try to get you to give up on God. But we need to quit ye like men. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to become you don't become a great soldier overnight. You don't learn to do battle overnight. For the just falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But the wicked fall into mischief." We need to be relentless and quit or carry through like men. We need to survey or watch. We need to stand fast, sustain, be self. And next, we need to be selfless. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14, it says, "Let all your things be done with charity." Charity is giving without expecting anything back. Charity is a deep abiding love, agape, giving, never thinking of yourself. And we need to do all things with charity, a selfless love. David's mighty men in charity. One instance, and Brother Dan talked about it this morning, they fetched a glass of water for David in the heat of the battle. David just said, I'm thirsty. And they took that as a command, and they went out into the heat of the battle and got David water. Why? Because they had charity. Charity is agape, a selfless love. They weren't thinking. They put their own lives aside and just went ahead and served their leader. Charity's about others. We need to stop thinking about ourselves. We need to think about others, not about ourselves. Stop thinking about our hurts, our fears, our concerns. You know the reason I got depressed after no one came on Sundays? Because I stopped thinking about others. That's why. I started thinking about myself. Woe is me. Oh, nobody came. My ministry in Limerick has never been about me. It's about the people in Limerick. It's about the Lord. It's not about me. And if I wanted to move somewhere for me, I'd have moved to Ennis. I love that town. Not Brother Day. I'm teasing Brother Day because he's going to he's God called him to Ennis. But the reason we get into sin is because we're thinking about ourselves, not about others. The reason we get discouraged is because we're thinking about ourselves, not about others. If we got our focus on others, it would help us to put everything in perspective. The greatest desire of the pastors in this room is that their men and their churches would be selfless. that they would live holy, get on fire for God, get a burden for their countrymen, that men would pray for revival in their country, and that some of those men would be called out and go forth and start churches all across this land. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I'll do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep in all, and all in vain. My efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and all my work in heaven begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Lord, help me live for others that I might live like thee. We need to cultivate a selfish desire and do all things with charity. Next, we need to submit ourselves to our godly leaders. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 and 16, it says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. Paul had leaders who worked with him. These were dedicated men. They addicted themselves to the ministry. They were faithful, hard workers in the work of God, doing whatever needed to be done. Natural leaders in the church. Paul tells the Corinthian people to submit themselves to this leadership. Adina was a leader, was the leader of David's mighty men. It wasn't Saul's mighty men. It wasn't Goliath's mighty men. It wasn't Jonathan's mighty men. It was David's mighty men. They were loyal to their leader. They were David's mighty men. Loyalty. Adina was a leader of these loyal men. He was their loyal leader. He was an example to others of submitting himself to his leader. Was David a perfect man? No. Was David without faults? No. David got discouraged. Just read Psalms. There are times that David got completely depressed. My heart panteth, my strength faileth for me, as the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. Psalm 38, verse 10. The truth is, there's no perfect man. But David followed God. He was a man after God's own heart, and Adino submitted to David's leadership despite his flaws. But just like Corinth, God has placed men in leadership of churches. God has placed men of God into churches to be the pastors, shepherds, and overseers. He's given that man of God has to give an answer to God for the people that God's placed in there under him. He has to stand before God and give an answer for you or for how he taught you. He has to give an answer for what he teaches, preaches, and how he leads his own life. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. As a pastor, I fear the day that I have to answer for God. That motivates me. That motivates me. That motivates me when I'm preparing to preach. That motivates me when I'm tempted. Because if I fall, I'm going to take other people with me. I prayed for people to come, but now that there's people, I have a greater responsibility. I have to answer for God for those people that come. Not for their decisions. I mean, people are going to make their own decisions. But what I preach and teach and what I allow to be taught. Today, there's a disintegration of loyalty in our nations and in our churches. There's almost no such thing as loyalty anymore. Businesses are not loyal to their workers, and workers are not loyal to their businesses that they work for. Government leaders are not loyal to their citizens, and citizens are not loyal to their government leaders. Children are not loyal to their parents, and parents aren't loyal to their children. And with disloyalty pervading in society, people come into the churches, and they have no problem contradicting what the pastor says. And they'll teach others contrary to what's taught in the church, creating disunity. But the Bible speaks much about unity in churches. There needs to be unity. There needs to be a oneness, a focus, a united goal going somewhere for God. And we need men who are loyal. Men, we need church strengtheners. Men who are going to stand behind the pastor and say, what do you need me to do? We need to turn off some of these YouTube preachers and get out a concordance and a Bible and study it. For all you know, that YouTube preacher has 12 wives, 3 mistresses, and a severe drug problem. How do you know he doesn't? How do you know? He's in Arizona. Or wherever somebody is. Is that? Never mind. We need a local church, a pastor that we can talk to who cares about us, who loves us, who prays for us, who prepares messages to help us with our needs and to submit to him. Why? Because he watches for your soul. That guy on YouTube doesn't care about your soul. He just wants some clicks. He just wants some fame. Today, there's a need more than ever for loyal men. Men to encourage their pastor. Men who submit to the preaching of the Word of God. Men who will pray for and stand by their pastor. And this was the life of a deacon. This is the life of a deacon. When I read the cup, just 2 verses of it, God pointed me right to these verses. I said, that's it. That is this man to a T. We need to, and it's what God wants from us. We need to survey. We need to watch. We need to be watching all around us. We need to stand fast. We need to stand fast in the faith. Just stand there, unmovable. We need to sustain. Don't quit. Stand there and don't quit. We need to be selfless and do things with charity. Stop thinking about ourselves and our own problems, our own needs, and think about the needs of others. Look to those around us. Look to the people that you work with, your family, your friends, those you live with in your home. Look for their needs and fill them. There was a boy, just popped in, the Lord just brought something to mind. There was a boy I went to Bible college with. He was about to quit, but he got a roommate 1 year that just went out and bought him a candy bar and left it on the table and a little note with it. And it was the first time he'd ever been loved, even through Bible college. And he stayed. He's in the ministry now. Just because of that one act of kindness. You know, if we do little acts of kindness to people and thinking about others, our family, our friends, you know, looking for their needs, maybe they won't listen to the gospel, but by living a selfless life, it'll help soften them to the gospel. And last, we need to submit ourselves to our godly leaders. Not that they're gonna not like they're gonna beat on us or knock on our door or, you know, dictate over us. No. They're teaching, they're looking out for your soul, they're preaching, they're searching the Word of God. They want to be a help to you. Submitting isn't saying, I yield. I know you love me, and I'm yielding to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. Thank you for the example of Adino. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, I went over a bit, but Father, I pray that you would help us to get a hold of these truths about the life of Adino. What an amazing man. What an amazing life. And Father, I pray that you would help us to get a hold of that we would be on guard, that we would stand fast, that we'd quit like men, do things with charity, submit to our pastors, and Lord, that we could go forth and lead, spread the gospel throughout this whole land. and help people to see a difference between what's right and what's wrong. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you would use your word to accomplish your will in the lives of these men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.